Do you have your Bibles there? Please go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to read, I'm reading from NIV version, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let me ask you a question. Love. What image comes to your mind when I mention the word love? What feeling comes to your mind when I say the word love? What idea comes to your mind when I say love? Perhaps you think about a red heart? Love? Perhaps you are thinking in some romantic song that reminds you your teens, yes? What is the definition of love? What is love? I'm sure if I go outside to the center and I ask, what is the definition of love? I will have as many definitions as many people I ask. Probably if I'm in the center of the town or in the center of London and I ask someone, what is love? What is love? Each one of them will have a different definition and a different idea about what is love. And probably even among us, we have different ideas about what is love. But what is truly, what is love? What is the meaning of love? And what are the implications of love? There is a famous song. It was the song number one in 2003 in the UK. And there is something particular in this song. Perhaps some of you will recognize. I'm going to read the one paragraph of the song. It says, people killing, people dying, children hurt, and you heard them crying. Can you practice what you preach, and you will turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, and some guidance from above, because people got me, question me, where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? Perhaps the younger generation are familiar with this song by Black Eyed Peas. Where is the love? People are seeking for love in our country. That's music. But what about media? Facebook? Did you know what is the most visited web page in Facebook in the UK? Well, until April 2013, the most visited Facebook web page in the UK was love.uk with 1.1 million in the UK of fans, following by British Airways, Hotel Inn, and Madame Tussauds in London. Love.uk, the most visited webpage in Facebook in Britain, 2013. Songs, Facebook, dating sites, our country We are longing for love. Each one of us has this deep longing for love. But what is love? The letter of 1 John was written in the first century after Christ. And John, the author, was dealing with two main mistakes in his time that are probably common to all of us. One of them was the Greek mindset. The Greek mindset, they have one idea and one definition about what is love. Greeks love definitions. And they have a close idea, close relationship between love and the purpose of life and the purpose of all things. They related a concept called logos. And the logos was the purpose, the being and the purpose of all things. And that was closely related to love. They were able to define love as a philosophical idea. And some of us has this same mistake about love when we define love. We tend to define love in terms of idea, things that we have or we should or we shouldn't do, and philosophy and feelings and things like that, rather than behavior and things that we should do. And perhaps some of you have this same idea about love and has made the same mistake about love. Perhaps you are able to define love, but what is better, to be able to define love or to show love to one another? What is better, to be able to define repentance or to show repentance? What is better, to be able to define compassion or to show compassion to one another? Perhaps some of you in this morning have a brilliant idea about theology and have all your ideas, and you can tell by heart the Ten Commandments, but you know that you are not keeping the Ten Commandments. Perhaps you have an idea, you can define what is sin, but you know in your heart that you haven't repented of your sin. And you have love as an idea. In the other hand, was the Jewish mindset idea about love. Love in the Old Testament was described by the Hebrew word chesed. And the primary idea of love among the Jewish was this chesed, which was showing covenantal love to one another, was showing kindness to one another. In Leviticus and in the law, we see that if you are a righteous man, you must show love to your neighbor. You must do something kind to your family. You must do this. You must do this if you are a righteous man. But the mistake was that people could think that they could be righteous just by doing things but feeling nothing in their hearts. And that was the mistake of the Pharisees in the first century. They were really good at doing things, but they didn't feel, and they were trying to justify themselves by doing good actions. And that is one of our mistakes. Perhaps you do good stuff at church. You come every Sunday. You go to the prayer meeting. You live a religious life. But you know in your heart that you are doing that just to try to please God, because you know that in your heart, in your thoughts, in the way that you behave, where nobody is looking at you, you don't show love. And you just do the thing that you have to do. 1 John was written in this context, between these two borders, between these two extremes of ideas. And perhaps, I'm pretty sure, most of us fall into one or another. Dear friends, verse 7, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. First John chapter 2, verse 7 to 11 is a parallel passage of this one. It says, dear friends, I'm going to read from verse 9. First John chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Dear friend, let's love one another because love comes from God. So I'm going to start like in the opposite. I'm going to explain what does it mean to love one another because love comes from God. What does it mean to love one another? I have my dad, my mom, my family in Peru. To love one another means to love and to fulfill the needs of the other person in the way that they need, not in the way that they want to show love. Let me explain this. My dad, in my birthday, he never will say, I love you, Daniel. He never will say, I love you, my son, he will do stuff. For example, I remember in my birthday, he made a library for my books. So he spent 2 days making with his hands. He bought the wood and he made a library to put all my books, and he gave it to me on my birthday as a present. Of course, I would prefer money, but yeah, the library was, I know that he was trying to express love to me, but I'm a bit different. When I love someone, I like to express my love verbally. I'm not very keen into give. Oh yeah, it's a gift. I like it, obviously, but I prefer to express my love verbally, to say to people, I love you, and things like that, and to spend time with him or her, and to express in that way, because that's the way I am. But my dad is completely different than me. And perhaps you have realized that with your spouse, your husband, your wife, your kids. We express love in different ways because we have different needs. So the way that God loves us, he says he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to love us in the way that we need it, in the way that we need. And in that very same way, we should love one another, fulfilling needs. What is the need of your neighbor? Perhaps spending time with him, sharing the Bible. Sometimes it's just listening. It's a lot better than speaking sometimes. Perhaps it's a financial or economic need that you can fulfill. Perhaps it's spending time with your wife, with your kids. You know the needs around you. You know the needs of your husband. You know the needs of your wife. You know them. And perhaps you use the excuse, yes, but he doesn't love me. She doesn't love me. Perhaps you use the excuse, he's not a Christian. She's not a Christian. Oh, she's not worthy to be loved. Look at the thing that he has done to me. Look at the thing that she has done to me. She is not worthy. He is not worthy. Dear friend, let's love one another because love comes from God. God loves us when we were completely unworthy and far, far away from him. He loves us. If you are a Christian, if you know God, you must love one another. Because love comes from God. Dear friend, let love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God, because God is love. We have been created in the image of God. If we have the ability to love, it's because we have been made in his image. Every good thing that we enjoy, every capacity, even small or big, to express love, is because we have been created in the image of God. He say everyone who love has been born of God. But what is why? What is the relationship between being born of God and love one another? So this has a Jewish background here. The expression being born of or son of usually doesn't literally mean like a physical connection. So let me read you John 8:42-44. Jesus said to them, talking to the Pharisees, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I haven't come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? You are unable to hear what I say." Here's the key, Jesus talking to the Pharisees. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of liars." Sometimes Jesus called John and his brother son of thunder, son of something. So that expression, being born of, son of, doesn't necessarily sometimes mean, but doesn't necessarily mean like a has a physical connection. It means that it shares the characteristics of the person who have been you been born of. So if someone has been born of God, will share the same characteristics of God. You know what I mean? Son of thunder doesn't mean that he's a thunder. He means like his character is like a thunder. So son of God will mean that someone share the same characteristics of God. And because God is love, say John, and the main characteristic of God is love. If you have been born of God, you must share the same characteristic of your father, which is love. And that is the connection. That is the relationship. When you realize how much God has forgiven you if you are a Christian, how much you own to him, how much love was shown to you, how much kindness, how much mercy, how much love, you must love God. If you don't love God, it's only two reasons. It's because you haven't realized your sins and you are not his son or daughter, or because you are living in sin. All right, all of us know that we are sinners, isn't it? We memorize that verse because all of us have sinned and have fallen short from the glory of God. But what does it mean to fall short of the glory of God? Right, some of us could have this idea. And I love playing football. I'm not very good, but I'm from Peru, so I have to play football. And Peru is not very good at football. I wish we were, but we are not. And sometimes when we play against Brazil or Argentina, usually Brazil defeat us like a 3-1 or something like that. So, yeah, Brazil is a lot better than Peru in football. So, and we can have that same idea about our sins and the relationship with God. It's like, I am like Peru playing football, and God is like Brazil. And our sins are like here, and God is like here. We fall short of God. We don't fit all his standards. We're almost there, but we don't fit. We are like a... We have been defeated like 3-1 or 4-1. But that is not the idea. That is not the idea of our sins and being fall short of the love of God. Let me put you another picture. Let's think about Brazil or Spain playing football against a team. But this team that is playing Brazil or Spain against is a team of cripples. They are on a chair, 11 players, all of them crippled, without being able to move, using a chair there. Not just a normal chair, just they are sitting. without being able to play at all, without being able to move. And they are playing football against Spain. All right? I think that probably Spain are going to score like in every minute two or three goals. Yeah, that is the idea of being fall short of the glory of God. That is the idea of how much God has forgiven you. We were completely unable, and God came to us in the person of Jesus. God loved us and sent his Son. We were completely blind, completely dead, unable to have peace. Where would you be this morning? Where would you be this morning without the grace of God? Then, my dear friend, says John, because God has love in that way, because God is love, we should love one another. Then he says in verse 8, whoever doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. Whoever doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. That's our second point. That's the opposite idea. If you love, you know God. Obviously, the opposite will be, if you don't know God, you will not love. What does it mean to don't show love to other person, to one another? To whom? To your fellow Christian, to your family. Let me read you a verse from 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That is the definition of the love of God, the definition of the love that we have if we know God. If you don't know God, you will not love your neighbor. Love never harms. How do we relate that to our everyday life? Choose one example. The number nine commandment was, you shouldn't wish your neighbor's wife. You shouldn't wish your neighbor's donkey. What is that? What is the relationship with that and love? Okay, I will not wish my neighbor's donkey. Okay, imagine that I come to Tobridge in a donkey. Nobody will wish my donkey, obviously. But what about if I come in a big car? Obviously, that's almost more difficult. Okay, let's say that Ben come with a big, nice car, Ferrari. And we will feel like an anger or some kind of envy. We are not acting in love because love doesn't envy. What about if we desire another woman than our wife? We are not acting in love because love is pure and love doesn't do anything wrong. What about if we become anger to our fellow brother? What about if we become anger to other person? We are not acting in love. Because according to the definition that we have read, God doesn't show anger. If you are not loving in that way, if you are showing anger, if you are showing envy, you are not loving your neighbor. Watching things on the TV that you know you shouldn't watch is not acting in love. Watching things on the internet and not keeping a pure mind in your heart is not loving God, and it's not showing love. Desiring a woman or a man that you shouldn't desire is not showing love, according to the definition of love. And if you are acting in that way, and the tenses here in Greek, in verse 7 and 8, is present tense, something that you do continuously, loving continuously, non-loving continuously, as an ongoing action, as a style of life, it is probably that you don't know God. Perhaps you don't know God in this morning. Or perhaps if you live in this way, I'm not talking about something that you do once. I'm talking about something that you do always. Perhaps you are living in sin if you have a relationship with God, and you, your heart is in pain because you know that you are not loving God, and you feel bad because of your sins. And that is a proof that you have a relationship with God. Dear brothers, if we don't love one another, that's a sign that we don't love God. Say verse 8. That leads us to our third point. The love of God has been manifested in us in the cross of Christ. Verse 9 to 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his, I'm reading in 1 John verse 4, sorry, chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his only one Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What does that mean? That God showed his love to us, sending his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Well, the idea of atoning sacrifice, atoning literally means cover, to cover something. And that word only appears, that word used in 1 John chapter 4 only appears 2 times in the New Testament. And literally means to cover. And it's a translation of a Hebrew word used on the temple. Literally, when the priest killed the sacrifice, the lamb. And when the lamb shed his blood, that word, the lamb, the blood of the lamb covering with his blood, the sacrifice, is the same word used here, atoning. Literally means covering. And the idea comes from the Old Testament, because people were unable to come before God, because God is so holy. God provided a way that come to him through a sacrifice, and that's the reason. Kill the lamb, the blood of the lamb cover the person, and now God took the life of that lamb as a covering, a temporary covering of our sins. The lamb was a picture of Jesus Christ. Do you remember in the Old Testament, all the stories in the Old Testament, like Moses, do you remember the angel passed and they sacrificed a lamb and painted in the door with blood? Do you remember? Then Isaac and Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, but God provided a lamb, and Abraham sacrificed the lamb instead of his son. Then the lambs in the Old Testament, every one of them was a picture of Jesus, sacrificed. And then in the New Testament, Jesus Christ came as a sacrifice for our sin. And he not just covered our sins, he took away completely our sins. Hebrews 10, 1 to 7. I'm going just to read. The Jewish law is not a full and faithful model of the real things. It is only a faint outline of the good things to come. The same sacrifice are offered forever, year after year. How can the law, then, by means of this sacrifice, make perfect the people who come to God? If the people worshiping God had really been purified from their sins, they wouldn't feel guilty of sin anymore, and no sacrifice would stop. As it is, however, the sacrifice served year after year to remind people of their sins. For the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. For this reason, when Christ was about to come into the world, he said to God, "You don't want sacrifice and offerings, but you have prepared a body for me. You are not pleased with animals born whole on the altar or with sacrifice to take away sins. Then I say, here I am to do your will, O God, just as it is written of me in the book of the law." The word of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that he was going to die on the cross. Love for one another, sacrifice, suffering. There is an intriguing connection between love and sacrifice. If you love someone, you will sacrifice for the person you love, and you will be willing to suffer for the things you love the most. If you are not willing to sacrifice, you don't love. The definition of love, the core verse in the Bible, we know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. God loved, therefore, he sacrificed his Son. Let me ask you a question in this morning. In this very morning, 100 Christians every month died for the person they love the most, the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps in this very moment, while I am preaching, someone is giving his life for the Lord he loved, she loved. Someone is dying for the Lord Jesus Christ, because love and sacrifice are connected. Do you know Christ? Are you loving your family, your neighbor? Are you sacrificing? What are you sacrificing? How much does it cost you to follow Jesus? How much does it cost you to follow him? I became a Christian when I was 16. And when I was 1 month of being a Christian believer, we went to a mission trip in the jungle in a place called Masamari. It was in January 2001. I was 16 years old, starting to understand the Christian life. And we visited a town that had been killed 10 years ago by the terrorist movement, the Shining Path. And we met the pastor. We was in the 80s, a pastor there. And the terrorist has caught him 12, 13 years before and has cut half of his feet to stop him to go from village to preach the gospel. He was with his crutches there, a man in his mid-40s. He could hardly read the Bible. And that was, I began to understand, what is this Jesus about? I was 16, and I still have that image on my mind of a feet half-cutting and the relationship between sacrifice and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that image impacted my mind. Do I love you, Lord? Do I really love you? What it will cost me to follow you? Do you really love the Lord Jesus? What are you sacrificing in this morning? Perhaps the Lord is asking you to do something to cut a relationship. Perhaps it's giving money. Perhaps it's coming to church and help here. It's testifying in your work, in your school. Perhaps for some of you it's going abroad and do missions. What is the Lord asking you to do for your neighbor and for his cause? Let's pray.